You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now, the latest of President Trump's executive orders has sparked a great deal of unrest. And to provide some background to the current situation, I filed this report. On Friday, Donald Trump signed an executive order which restricted America's border, namely through a temporary 90-day ban on those from seven Muslim-majority countries: Iraq, Syria, Iran, Yemen, Sudan, Libya, and Somalia. Trump stressed that this was not a Muslim ban, but also said he would prioritize Christian refugees in the future. On Saturday, he seemed confident the executive order was panning out.
It's working out very nicely. You see it at the airports, you see it all over. It's working out very nicely, and we're going to have a very, very strict ban, and we're going to have extreme vetting, which we should have had in this country for many years.
But just how nicely did it work out?
No hate, no fear. Immigrants are welcome here. Say it loud, say it clear. Refugees are welcome here.
Thousands of protesters arrived at John F. Kennedy Airport in New York on Sunday in condemnation of what was now very much known as the Muslim ban. With an array of chants, they called for an end to the executive order, as well as freedom for those being detained at airports across the country. Inside was just as chaotic, with border protection agents and immigration officials unsure of how to interpret the new marching orders, especially with lawyers now closing in on all sides. But then came a victory for the protesters, after a lawsuit filed by the American Civil Liberties Union resulted in a court ruling granting a stay on any deportations of detainees. ACLU Executive Director Anthony D. Romero told those outside the courthouse that it was a victory for the American Constitution.
This was a remarkable day. What we've shown today is that the courts can work. They are a bulwark in our democracy. And when President Trump enacts laws or executive orders that are unconstitutional and illegal, the courts are there to defend everyone's rights. So we want to thank you very, very much.
However, for those not already in America, this stay will mean very little. For BFM News, Cormac Smith, tēnā.
Can anyone explain why the modern-day whales are so big?
The Wire.
But what does all of this mean for New Zealanders? Are our rights also being infringed on? Well, this now becomes a question of whether dual citizens are affected by the executive order or not, and on this there is some confusion. To give you an idea of the scale of people that might be affected by this, of the seven countries covered by the ban, at least Iraq, Iran, Syria, Sudan, and Somalia allow for dual citizenship. And between 1999 and 2014, New Zealand granted citizenship to over 13,000 people from those countries. Now, not all of these have necessarily retained dual citizenship, of course, but nonetheless, it is a staggering figure. Here's where it gets confusing. The US State Department issued a statement on Sunday saying dual citizens would fall under the same restrictions as nationals and therefore be barred from entering the US. However, following conversations between Boris Johnson and Donald Trump, the British Foreign Office stated that UK dual citizens will be exempt from the ban so long as they are not travelling to the US from one of the seven countries. And a spokesperson for Justin Trudeau revealed that Canadian dual citizens will not have their travel impeded on either. So considering the official State Department line suggests a one rule for all, this appears to be a complete contradiction of the executive order. And going back to New Zealand, while Australia's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade confirms that Australian dual citizens are included in this ban, New Zealand's counterpart has done no such thing. Instead, the ministry has directed people to the US Embassy and Consulate in Auckland, who have provided the original and potentially superficial State Department line. So at this point, it's not really clear at all whether New Zealanders are caught up in this ban. And for more on this topic, I spoke to Hazim Arafair, who is the president of the Federation of Islamic Associations of New Zealand. And I began by asking what the implications of this executive order are for Muslims.
Well, basically, it's as we have said in the past, this is a discriminatory policy, and it's against Muslims. It's a ban on Muslims. And indeed, it is a threat to to Muslims around the world who wants to go to the States to do any of their life businesses there, or wants to live there, or seek further education. It is really discriminatory.
Right. And how much of an impact do you think this is going to have on New Zealand's Muslim community?
Well, there's a fair bit of Muslim community in New Zealand who's got a lot of ties in the States. And just because they've been born in one of the seven banned countries, they just simply won't be allowed. They won't be allowed to go and to go to the States to pursue any of their wishes there, whether it was work or research purposes, or just visiting friends and family.
And there will be a lot of these people living in New Zealand with this kind of dual citizenship.
There is a few of them, yes, correct. And based on this policy, they won't be allowed to enter the States.
What would you like to see from the New Zealand government in terms of a response to this? Is there anything you can do, or we can do, do you think?
I'd like to commend the Honourable Bill English for his decision on this and for his comments on this. I think pretty much the New Zealand government has done the best that they can. They have expressed, the New Zealand government has expressed their rejection to such policy and has reassured us that this policy won't happen here. And to the best of what we know, this is the best that the government that can actually do in such a situation. They simply just cannot go and tell the Americans how to run their country.
It's interesting you say that, because a lot of people criticized Bill English for not taking a very strong stance in this and not necessarily condemning America's actions, but rather saying New Zealand itself would not take those. But you feel that's an adequate line?
No, we don't, because really neither New Zealand nor any other country can actually tell America what to do. It's their country, it's their policy. We strongly condemn this policy, but we don't think that the New Zealand government could have done anything more to condemn this policy.
What do you make of the countries that have been targeted in this specifically? Obviously, there are many Muslim-majority countries, but why do you think these seven in particular have been chosen?
I've been asking this question for quite some time, obviously, and of course I don't have any hard fact answers. All what we've been told, that there are countries in which the American president thinks that there are countries that promote terrorism or harbor terrorism. That's why he made his decision about these seven countries.
How do you think it affects the perception of terrorism in relation to Muslims?
Well, the reason why we said that it's a discriminatory decision, it's because it discriminates against Muslims. And you see, Muslims are way more than these seven countries. What is also important to mention, that terrorism has got no religion, and terrorism is found in those countries with, you know, the percentage of terrorists in these countries is just extremely minute compared to the majority or to the major population of all of these countries. And that's why we've been tarnished with the same, you know, with the same we've been blamed for the actions of minority. And that's why it's labeling the whole Muslims and all Islam by being terrorists.
Is there much of a reaction from people here in New Zealand to these events?
Muslims and non-Muslims in New Zealand are absolutely outraged with this decision. We keep getting letters of support. One of our mosques in Wellington has been actually getting a lot of support messages and getting bunches of flowers all day yesterday, as kind of expression of the rejection of such a policy.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.